Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you call us children. Lord, let your word be what leads us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I invite you to get that little cup of water out now and find someone nearby to cheers with, because as we're getting started with Sabbath tonight, yeah, so get out your cup, get it ready, hold it up. Here we go. Because Jesus is the water of life. It's but a small cup, but cheers and bottoms up. Here we go. Jesus, the water of life. Here we go. Bottoms up. Is it? Anybody still holding on to their cup? Yeah, you're still holding yours? Yeah. Hold on. No, I got this. Yeah. Who? Yeah. Come on. No. Are you gonna drink it?
Yeah.
No. Are you gonna drink it, Ryan? No. Yeah. Yeah, I'm only going to get away with that once, so there you go. You're a part of it. Because anytime I hand you something in a cup again, you're never going to take it. But, you know, it worked once. So who wants some more? Anybody? Yes, you like that. That's fine. Okay, you guys want some more. You're late to the game, but want some more. All right. Yeah, that was salt water, in case you're wondering. Yeah, I don't know if it's quite the, like taking a drink of the ocean, but I feel like that's about what I would get in my face in the ocean. You know, something like that. If you were ever stranded out in the ocean, you know, on a raft or something, and you're tempted, like, man, I'm really thirsty, I would love to have a drink of water. If you drink the water in the ocean, you actually are going to dehydrate quicker. What it takes for your body to move the salt out of your body requires more moisture to come out of your body, and you actually are going to dehydrate quicker because of the process, and you die from dehydration faster and are actually even thirstier along the way. Now, why would I do that to you? One, I hope you remember it, but I actually hope you remember it for a reason. For drinking salt water to satisfy our thirst is like living without Sabbath while attempting to rest in Jesus. You will never be fully satisfied, and the longer you keep it up, the thirstier you'll get. Jesus invites us. Directs us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. As I look around the room, this is not new things for most of you. But I wonder, if you take a self-eval for a sec, is that rest, both for your soul and for your body, your usual experience? Is it how the people around you experience you? Rested, and a soul that's filled with rest, at ease, unburdened. It's not often my experience. I don't think many people's experience very often. And it's not only this invitation, we've got Jesus' direction to us. When asked, what are the most important laws out there? Like, Jesus, tell us the most important one. And he says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. When Jesus is asked to sum up the law, to summarize God's expectations for our lives, honestly, to sum up what he perfectly did that we would never do, it's this. It's to be a person of love, a person that loves God
And a person that's so filled with the love of God that they overflow with God's love and loving their neighbors. Same question. Is those things your usual experience? Is that how the people around you usually experience you? As a person of love. Friends, there is no silver bullet when it comes to resting in Jesus or being a person of love or making that increasingly more and more a part of your usual experience or how people experience you. However, there is an ancient practice, a habit, a pattern for life that arises from the wisdom of God that has been revealed in the Scriptures that Jesus' followers have used for centuries. It's a habit which creates an environment where the Spirit of God can more fully work so that followers of Jesus can more fully live in that rest and soak up that love so that they more often love God most of all and are more often experienced as those who love their neighbors. It's called Sabbath. Before we get into it, I want to give credit where credit is due and encourage you to explore resources which have blessed me and I want to provide to you as well. My approach has been shaped in many ways by John Mark Comer's work, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, creator of a podcast called The Rule of Life and some mini-series, mini-courses called Practicing the Way, which helps people put those very kinds of practices into practice in their lives. And if you've already picked up one of the devotions, this Lenten practice book, Steps Towards Sabbath, on the inside of it, there is a QR code that'll take you to a bunch of those podcasts as well as some other resources to give you additional things to think on and think through as you strive to take steps toward Sabbath. And that's the goal of these Wednesday evenings as well, to help you walk in that direction. Just by raise of hands, who participated in the Bible study, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry? Okay? Who read the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry? Okay, quite many of you. Who is now on a weekly basis spending 24 hours resting and increasingly growing to love God and love their neighbors well? Yeah, my hand's not up either. We all have room to grow. And some of this maybe is completely brand new to you, and this whole thing about the ruthless elimination of hurry is something you've not heard of before. That's okay. I'll start from the beginning. There's joy in being this community. That God gives these directives, not to us just as individuals, but to us as a community, to be on this journey together. You'll notice that neither I nor Pastor Brian raised our hands for that last question. We're on this journey too. So before I give you any more on Sabbath and where we're going tonight, I'm going to pray and I'm going to put a couple questions up there for you to discuss amongst yourselves, and then we'll bring it back together as a group. Lord Jesus, you give this thing's Sabbath. We pray that you increasingly open our eyes, open our minds, open our ability to be creative and see possibilities we've never seen before, to step into the gifts that you want to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. So two questions, just a couple minutes here. Turn to the person next to you and talk about these two things, whichever one stirs you or both of them. Go for it. If you're a long ways away from somebody else, scooch on in so that you can find somebody to talk to.
Which would you like to answer for your family? All right,
Cora. Do you mind if I do the second one?
Can she do the second one?
Yeah. Whichever question you want.
I think the thoughts and feelings is that grateful, and knowing about other people's work.
Okay. Knowing about other people's work, grateful, hopeful. Okay.
They forgot. That's fine.
It's okay to forget. It happens sometimes when the microphone comes. Who else?
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Pastor Brian, working out tonight.
That's right.
Here we go.
I was just thinking that back when I was growing up back in the 50s, on the blue laws in Massachusetts, you couldn't do anything. Everything was closed. I think only the pharmacy was open.
Yeah, who remembers that? Who remembers that? Yeah. Did you grow up? And what were you allowed to do on Sunday?
Nothing.
Yes, absolutely nothing. Yeah, like go to church and then, I mean, like don't do lots of stuff, right? Yeah. What else? Thoughts, feelings for this episode. Did you want to talk? You don't have to. I'm not gonna make you. I already made you drink salt water tonight, so. Yeah. How about this? Give me like a thumbs up, thumbs down. Thoughts that come to mind. Like, are they more positive, more negative when you think about Sabbath? Like, where is it at? Are we here, there? Like, give me a. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Other current understandings of the Sabbath. What is it? Is it? I mean, there's the blue laws do nothing. What else? What is it? No work. Don't work. Okay. Okay, what else? Sabbath. Yeah, Matt. Hey, you need the microphone. You got a great voice, but there's plenty of ears. There you go.
All right, cool. It's just a day of rest in Him and His Word, not necessarily vegging on the couch, watching movies or something like that, or maybe just going out on a hike or on a trail and taking in everything, just listening.
Okay, so resting in Him and His Word, not necessarily just vegging on the couch, watching movies, walk outside or something like that. Okay, one more. Danny.
To rest.
There you go, say it in the microphone.
To rest.
Very good. Pastor Brian, thank you. Yeah, there'll be more, so yeah. Yeah. So as we read before, the Sabbath is not new. We had the reading before from Genesis. You know, God said, let's make man, we're going to make him in our image, all of that. That day finished, God saw everything he made. It was very good, not just good. The other days were good. This was now very good. But by the seventh day, he finished his work. And it says, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. Now, fast forward a number of years, the people of the covenant, the people of Israel, have been in Egypt. They have now been rescued out of Egypt through the Red Sea, on dry ground, off into the desert on their own. Finally, are at the mountain of Sinai. They get the Ten Commandments given to them there, and one of them is, remember the Sabbath day, by keeping it holy. God is now telling them what he means. I mean, already back in Genesis, there was this identification. The seventh day is holy. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from his work. But the question is, what does that mean, that God had made this day holy? Well, holy means set aside, for sure. But what do I do with that? How does that work? I'm supposed to just think about God and not watch movies? Am I supposed to do nothing? Am I just rest? Like, what does it mean? Well, he explains it now in Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And then he explains, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And then he's like, don't do any work. And none of the people in your household, and none of the people that are extended to your household, and none of the people that are connected to the people that are connected to your household are supposed to work. For in 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So in here, it says, stop. In short, it says, stop. There is this pattern. And he refers there in Exodus back to creation in Genesis. Because creation was done this way,
we're going to do this way. There is a correlation that he's connecting between the two. Work 6 days, rest one. We see that, 6 days of creation, and then the seventh was the rest day. Though, Adam and Eve weren't made till day six, and so their first day was day seven. So really, for them, it's not work 6 days, rest one. It's rest one day, and now work six. They rested day seven, and then started working 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that the 6 yet? I don't know. Anyways. So he spelled it out that he wants us to follow. This is what it means for this day to be set aside as holy. Rest 1, work 6. Now, we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these commandments, that he did these perfectly, that this isn't the thing that earns us anything. Like all the Ten Commandments, yet they are wisdom for how life goes well. Like when you keep God first, when you call on him when you're in need, when you don't lie to other people, when you aren't unfaithful to your spouse, when you honor other marriages, when you don't kill, when you don't steal, like life just goes better. So also here, when you rest one, and then work six, life just goes better. He's got a gift that he's giving us. Life goes better when you approach it like this. Start with stopping. That's probably worth writing down if you've got a sheet of paper in front of you. Start with stopping. I found it interesting as I did the math on it. It's more than a tithe, 14.29% of your week. Is rest, is stopping. Then work the rest of the week with the energy and the blessings that you soaked up on the first days of the week. I know that there's lots of experiences in the past where there are blue laws kinds of stuff or thoughts about what Sabbath might be based on our experiences, but hold those loosely as we work through Sabbath on these evenings and let God lead you to what he has designed for us. At its core, where we start tonight, is with stopping. Sabbath literally means to stop, particularly to stop your work. Now, that's not all of it. We'll get into other things that it means to rest and to delight and to worship and more on those in the weeks to come. But we can't get to any of those first unless we stop. Unless we just stop. The wisdom literally is set aside 24 hours to stop all your work. That's what it says in the passages that we read, right? Amen? Amen. To be clear, that means resting from both paid and unpaid work. Anything that is draining, so that you can do the things that are energy giving rather than things that are energy draining. So, like, stop worrying for a day. Doesn't that sound nice to have a day where you don't worry? Stop wanting. A day where I'm not chasing my desires. Stop striving. A day where I don't have to keep checking off the to-do list. Stop accomplishing for 24 hours where you're not expected to be a producer. My question to you, and I want to turn you to your neighbors again, is this. What makes that hard? Hard to stop, even for a couple hours. And you could think maybe split it in two different ways, whether it's things that are inside you or things that are outside you. What gets in the way of stopping? And if you're saying, like, man, this question seems really familiar, you're right. It is the very first question on the first part of the first steps towards Sabbath, because, like, we're really serious. We want you to use this, and so I want to help move you in this direction. So let this be the beginning of the conversation that continues in your home as you work to fill this out. So start here. Chat with your neighbors for a minute or so. What makes it hard to stop?
Thank you.
All right, I know the time goes fast, and I hope this is just the beginning of a conversation that you get to have. I got permission to share what Sandy said. She's like, don't make me say it into the microphone. But she said I could share. So Sandy, I'm gonna share a little bit what you said, because I feel like you're speaking what maybe others said as well. She said, Jesus didn't have a family. He didn't have a yard, and he didn't have, you know, like, what about the things that, like, I didn't finish today? Like, I have to do them tomorrow, because there's gonna be more things than I have to do the next day. And if I don't do things that day, then I'm gonna do that. Anybody talk like that? Yes, yes, that makes it hard to stop. What else? What else makes it hard to stop? There's the, we'll call that like the avalanche. Like, if I just let this little thing roll, then it's gonna snowball and snowball and snowball, and that gets scary in a hurry. What else? What makes it hard to stop besides the snowball? Sean.
Wait, Sean.
Real loud, Sean. Real loud until he gets there.
Like many of us, we're wired that way to stay busy. I feel I'm wired.
Okay, I feel wired to stay busy.
Yeah,
like,
I've always
like
gotta
this,
be busy.
Yeah,
I got lists, I got tasks, because I'm just, that's my brain going fast.
Okay.
And then I was thinking the things that inside of you or outside of you that get in the way, my phone gets in my way of having Sabbath.
Because it's always calling you to do something.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
like,
I'm
hey.
On it.
Pay attention to this. Look at this thing. Hey, look at this cool video. Mm-hmm. And you got a friend that's like, I saw this cool video. You look at this one. Yeah.
It's a mindset.
A mindset. Anybody there? Like, there's just this mindset. Yeah, I just do stuff. I grew up with this. Like, yeah, we come home from church on Sunday. We got stuff to do. Like, there's other things. There's time to leverage. In fact, that even, like, seemed like a good idea. Because I'm being a good user of my time. Yeah, Aaron, way in the back there. Yeah, yeah, come on. I love it. I love it.
It makes me feel guilty if I'm not doing something for too long.
Makes me feel guilty. Anybody there? Yeah.
Preach.
Makes me feel guilty. You got one more, Ron?
Oh, Ron. Chili.
That's right. You can have another cookie now.
We're blessed to have 13 grandkids, and between all of them, there's always something going on in their lives that we're worrying about and we're thinking about. And just to say, you know, there's no concern or thoughts, it's impossible.
It just seems impossible to not worry for a day, because there's so many people you care about, and they got things are going on. They're serious. Yeah. Yeah.
We talked about you might miss out on doing something fun if you're stopping for a little bit.
You might, say it again.
You might miss out on something fun.
Oh, you might miss out on something fun if I'm stopping. Yeah, will I still be okay if I miss the fun thing that I want to do? Yeah, thanks, Pastor Brian. Yeah. I hope there's more, and I hope this conversation continues in your own home, whether it's exploring a bit more the fact that we're either wired for hurry, maybe addicted to hurry. Maybe that's why it's hard to stop, because we feel the withdrawal of not doing things all the time. I think about the question that we often ask someone, like, hey, what's your name? What do you do? Why do we ask that? Because what you do is who you are. What you do is how you find yourself valuable, or maybe how you find someone else valuable. Oh, you're a that. Oh, yeah, that's you're a that much better, more of a person, maybe. Is that some of it? Maybe. Does success equal busy? Is that why when we ask one another, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Is it really my badge of, like, yeah, I'm successful? Maybe. Friends, the truth is, you aren't what you do, but you are loved. And as you think about Sabbath, I wonder for how many of you, it almost seems like a pipe dream. Like, that sounds great. Like, maybe for some of you, like, yeah, I read the book.
I went to the Bible study. I understand the concept, but I don't know how this is going to work. So while we're not going to take time to talk about it tonight, the other question that's in the booklet is, does Sabbath sound like a gift to you? Why or why not? And we're not going to take time to talk about it right now. I'll just wrap things up for tonight. But let me just add this before I do that. Remembering the Sabbath day also doesn't mean that I take seven days worth of full days and cram them into six so that I can take a day off. It doesn't mean I sleep less on 6 days and work even harder on those 6 days so that I can do 7 days worth of stuff in 6 days. I think God's actually calling us to some subtraction, as hard as that might be. But God intends it as a gift. His wisdom is that there's a reality that your body matters. That you can just keep pushing at the pace that you are. That you could keep pushing at the pace that you are and attempt to fully receive Jesus, who fully is your rest, who does love you, who is ready to fill you with his love. But in my experience, which I think is consistent with the habit of Sabbath, which Jesus calls us to, is that if we do not slow down enough to be loved, to notice the salt water that we're drinking, salt water that sounds like you'll find peace when you finally complete your to-do list. If you slow down, you won't be okay. Worse, you'll fail the people around you. Or the salt water of, you can soak up all you need from Jesus even if you don't slow down. We've tried that. Who's feeling unburdened? Who's growing fully in love? Who's resting more and more in his peace? I don't think we can just keep pushing. Those are lies. We're going to keep being thirsty. Even though the pure water of Jesus' love, of resting in him, is being offered as a gift to us. So I encourage you to drink from that well. To walk with this group here as we strive to drink not the salt water of the lies of this world, but the pure water of Jesus Christ, who is love, who invites us to rest, who invites us to subtract. Because this is the gift. Abundant life of Jesus, the life of being loved and living in love and resting in him is ours if we're willing to receive the gift, to trust that it really is a gift if somehow I subtract, to stop for one day before I work for six. Let's pray. Jesus, help us trust that Sabbath, that stopping before we work and from our work, really is a gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and continue in prayer. As we did.